godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Being joined right now by Emmy Award-winning director Randy Wilkins. He directed, which will start airing on Monday, the 7-part Derek Jeter series on ESPN called The Captain. Randy, welcome into the show. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Man, as much as as film that you had to look at, the interviews and all of, were you, at any point were you just sick of looking at Derek Jeter?
No, partly because it was reliving some of the best moments of my life as a Yankees fan, so it wasn't that bad. You know, there were moments where I was like really excited and kind of took me back a little bit. So thankfully, I didn't have to look at Derek the entire time. You know, we did about 90 interviews, so I had a break from Derek from time to time. But I was excited. You know, it brought me back to some good times as a Yankee fan.
That would be like me directing a documentary for Akeem Olajuwon.
Right.
You know, somebody who I watched at University of Houston when I was a kid, then onto the Rockets and then championships, and it's got to feel very, very similar. And let's face it, Jeet is one of those guys who, I don't want to say he transcends baseball, but he was kind of on a different level from a personality standpoint, a leadership standpoint. I mean, there was a time where you could look at him, and he came in towards the end of Michael Jordan's career, and you kind of got some of the same vibes from him from a confidence standpoint.
Yeah, for sure. I think he did transcend the sport. I mean, he was a part of pop culture.
That's true.
I think he was accessible in a lot of different ways. I think that he's one of the rare New York Yankees that actually garnered sincere respect from other fan bases. I know that he has, like, haters and detractors, but I think overall he earned a lot of respect across the country and globally. So I think he was a brand name. He was a household name. You know, that's part of the reason why he made the film, precisely because he transcended the sport.
How much of it, and we were talking with Randy Wilkins, who directed The Captain for ESPN, a 7-part series on Derek Jeter. How much of it is about his personal life? Because I liked Derek Jeter, the baseball player, but man, he could get it off the field. So do you delve into that at all? Because that made him as legendary with a lot of guys as anything else.
Yeah, we get into some of that stuff. We definitely get into, like, all facets of his personal life, whether it comes to family, his biracial identity. We touch on celebrity culture, and actually we delve into celebrity culture and the impact that it has on the person that's at the center of that. We touch on, you know, the fun times that he had as a New Yorker, a good-looking guy in New York. So, yeah, there are a lot of facets to his life off the field that we capture. I mean, I think that that's what makes this film important, is that we go beyond the baseball. We wanted this to be accessible to everyone. So,
When did you start creating this? When did you get the go-ahead to actually start the process of making this, doing what you needed to make this doc? Did you do it before or after the Jordan documentary series, The Last Dance?
Oh, yeah, it was definitely after.
Did that help you at all with telling the story? I'm interested because what you're telling me is, I'm like, man, you got seven, it's a 7-part, so, you know, how do you, you're trying to storyboard this over 7 different series. Did that help you at all watching how they did Last Dance? Did you use anything that you saw when you made the Jeter doc?
No.
Okay.
I didn't actually. I think we're taking a different approach. I think with the Last Dance, the bedrock of that was the footage that nobody had seen before, and then they kind of built the story out of that. For this, there's no, like, unseen footage. We've seen his career play out without any footage that kind of was in a vault. And really the story is about Derek, the person, as much as it is about the player. So we built the story merging those two things together. So we had, in our office, we had two big walls that basically chronicled all the big moments and even, like, not as familiar moments in every season of his life. And then we also had things prior to him becoming getting to the major leagues. And then we built out like cultural things, personal things, and then things that might have happened in New York City or the country. And then we just merged them together to build out the story structure.
Randy Wilkins is with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, talking about the captain on ESPN. It starts on Monday, a 7-part series. Did you, fairly or unfairly, I saw something just the other day about Derek Jeter not deserving gold gloves. Carlos Correa was on a podcast and mentioned that he was talking in Spanish and mentioned it. Did you delve into his defense at all?
Yeah, we touched on it. You know, we acknowledge it. There's a story from Brian Cashman where he spoke to Derek about, you know, he had to improve his defense at a certain stage of his career. So they tell that story, and that's a part of the film. I think that there's a misconception, though, and I think Derek in some ways is a little victimized by the way that analytics became publicly accessible. When Derek was in his, like, prime, he's one of the best defensive shortstops in the league. And I think because he had so much longevity, and there were more concrete ways to evaluate a player that was accessible to the public, I think that the perception started to change. And he did decline. I mean, he got older. You know, I don't think that you could be the same at 35 as you would be at 25. But when he was 25, 26, I mean, he was one of the best defenders at the position. So I think it depends on what part of his career you want to look at. But, yeah, we touch upon it in the doc for sure.
Yeah, you know, we talk about Derek Jeter. One of the things that I think when we look at guys like, I'm watching Tiger Woods right now on the screen at the U.S. Open. Michael Jordan, we that Mike Tyson.
The Open, not the U.S.
I'm sorry, the Open, the British Open, I still call it. But Derek Jeter's one of those guys that a lot of times, if I said Tiger Woods, I'll just do this off the cuff, John. When I say Tiger Woods, what's the moment? What's the iconic moment that you remember with him as a player?
The Nike ball falling in.
And the fist pump.
Well, the
right?
fist pump,
yeah.
Too, yeah.
Well, but when the ball falls in and, right. and his celebration. With Michael Jordan, it's the pull-up and all the fans in Utah, the pasty fans who are going to be so sad.
Or against Cleveland when he...
Or the Craig Ehlo. One of those two. Right. With Jeter, he also had that iconic moment against the A's with the backwards toss to home plate. Did you go...
I think of him flying into the stands and cutting his face.
Oh, that's a good one, too. Which one's the iconic play as a Jeter fan?
Both. The flip play because it saved the Yankees that year, and the dive play because it came against the Red Sox. So I think both of them, to be quite honest, I don't think you can choose one over the other. I think the importance, especially the Yankees fans, for both are pretty significant. So I think that, like you said, with Jordan, he has a couple. Tiger has a couple. I think Derek has a couple. So I don't think I could rank one of those above the other, but I think they're both really significant signature plays. And we discussed both in the film.
Both on screen and off screen in the Michael Jordan doc, there were some. Now, listen, that's Jordan's doc, so they're not going to, you know, they're going to be careful how it's positioned. But there was some negativity. There was a different side. Isaiah Thomas, for example. Jeter seems so likable, and I know you spoke with everyone around Jeter. At any point, either on camera or off camera, did you have somebody who there was maybe some contentiousness with Derek Jeter at all, where it wasn't all, you know, puppies and roses?
I mean, there were definitely moments where people are critical of Derek in the film. And I think that there were moments where people, you know, question if he should have, you know, stayed at the position long enough, or, you know, when they have the collapse in 04, did he bear some responsibility as a captain? I mean, that's definitely what it's about. We wanted it to be balanced. We didn't want this to feel like a Yankeeography. And I guess the closest thing just in terms of, like, contentiousness would be the A-Rod saga, I guess you could put it, or one word to use. I think that's the one, you know, tenuous relationship that people will always turn to, and we definitely talk about Alex. Alex speaks about it. Derek speaks about it. There was definitely a tension there. I don't think that, you know, that's not surprising to anyone. So we definitely delve into it. I think it's an important part of Derek's story. It's an important part of Alex's story. So I think that's probably the one relationship that gets the most attention in terms of, like, conflict and it not being as, like, smooth sailing as maybe other parts of Derek's career.
Randy Wilkins, at Pam's Son, PAMSSON, on Twitter. If you want to follow him, Emmy Award-winning director, and he directed the Jeter documentary, The Captain, which begins airing Monday on ESPN.
It's about time ESPN's going to finally mention the Yankees. It's about time they gave the Yankees some play. Randy, by the way, we can't let you go without talking for a second about Yankees Astros. As a Yankee fan, we were talking about this. As a Houston fan, you know, it just seems like we've always had this player, or that team, or whatever that was our daddy. Like, we couldn't do anything about it. And there's that team that's the evil empire. And it dawned on us one day, like, you know what? The Astros have been to 5 straight ALCSs. The Yankees haven't beaten them in a series since the new iteration of, and I was there at Yankee Stadium in 15, even when they got the wild card win in New York in the one game series. Like, as a Yankee fan, the original evil empire, how do you see the Astros? Do you still consider yourself above the Astros as the Yankees, or do you see them as a very, very difficult hill to overcome?
Oh, yeah, I think they're a difficult hill to overcome for sure. I mean, I don't think I'm as spooked as other Yankees fans. I think there's, like, a certain portion of Yankees fans that, like, give the Astros too much credit, and I think we're a little bit, like, shook by them. Mm-hmm. I'm not in that group, but I do respect this iteration of the Astros. They're a great team. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I think that they're an incredibly tough challenge for the Yankees. I also believe that because it's baseball, you can't really assume that they're going to meet in the ALCS. There are so many crazy things that happen, especially with so many rounds. I don't think Astros or Yankees fans can assume they're going to see each other in the ALCS. I hope it happens so the Yankees can kind of slay that beast. But, yeah, I mean, I think the Astros are definitely on the same level as the Yankees, and in some ways might be a little bit higher because they have a ring that this Yankees team doesn't. But, I respect them. I think some Yankees fans give them a little bit too much credit and respect. But, they're a great team for sure.
It's turned into a really good rivalry.
You better start. You better start fearing them, Randy, because they're going to take care of that business again.
But you know what I respect that Randy also is that he's one of the guys who says, why are we doing this with Altuve? This doesn't make any sense that for some reason Altuve is the guy that catches all the bullets.
Yeah, I think there are a couple other guys that should get the wrath
and we would agree.
Like, one of them's on your team, Marwin.
I honestly don't really root for Marwin. So
career year Marwin.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, I think there are a couple guys on that team, one of them being Alex Bregman, that should get the wrath way more than Altuve.
Yeah, he's not been the same since 19. He was fine at – no, he's not been the same since this all broke.
No.
He hadn't had the same swagger. Quick question, the last question before we let you go. Gerrit Cole, who was great with the Astros, has had some real ups and some real downs in New York. As a lifelong Yankee fan, do you think he has the mentality, do you think he has the personality to withstand the New York media and the New York fan base? Because, you know, they're great when you're going well, but they also have expectations for players to get paid like that.
I think Gerrit Bill from New York. I don't think that that's ever been an issue. I think that there's like a brighter spotlight on him and a just naturally a higher level of expectation because of the history of the Yankees. But yeah, I mean, I think he's been great for New York. I have like no issues with Gerrit Cole at all. I'm thrilled that he's a Yankee. And for me personally, I think he's been fantastic and responds well to this market. So I don't see a problem. But one thing about Yankees fans is sometimes, you know, we'll make an issue out of nothing just to create some controversy. So I think that's one of those moments where, you know, they're fishing for something.
Yeah, you might not have an issue with them. We do. we got an issue with them.
He was great when he was here, though.
Yeah, he was. Randy Wilkins, at Pam's Son on Twitter.
He's my Twitter friend, John. Maybe he could be your Twitter friend.
Well,
maybe
I'm going to follow him right now. I'm going to follow him right now.
I like Sports Doc, so I was following him before he got famous with the Captain.
At Pam's Son on Twitter. Hey, Randy, great talking to you. We appreciate it. Good. Hope you have the best of luck with the documentary.
And do it on the LaJuan Doc next.
All right, I got you guys. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right, man. There's Randy Wilkins right here at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I would legitimately, that's a good dude, by the way. I would legitimately kill for a Olajuwon documentary. What they're doing for Derek Jeter,
you could go to Nigeria. Like, you go to pick somebody to kill?
Well, no, it's not literal. It's figurative.
Well, no, you just said I would literally kill for someone for an Olajuwon documentary.
Kim Jong-un.
You would kill Kim Jong-un. Ooh, better watch yourself.
Kim Jong-un.
I don't want that heat. But RJ, we need separate studios.
The dude is going after
Kim Jong-un.
Okay, I got one.
You know
for
what
you.
Happens?
The guy when the lady was having a C-section,
oh,
I'd kill him. Are we good now? Can I get to my Olajuwon doc? Now that I said, because I think no one would have a problem with that story. That's a horrific story. That guy's the worst. But an Olajuwon doc where you, and there's been some, like there's yeah, been
no,
U
people
of H.
don't even know what you're talking about there.
We didn't do it. No.
No, we didn't do it.
This guy did something horrific. So there's a horrific.
A woman who's having a C-section, there's a screen.
Yeah, that's what a C-section does. That's what you do. I was on the good side of the screen.
Right.
Whenever Sebastian was born, I didn't have to see the
But there's a the anesthesiologist is doing ugly things to her mouth while she's getting a C-section. John's not lying.
This guy got caught. Somebody taped him outside of the thing. Yeah. He got caught. He will go to prison forever, and terrible things will happen to him. I think he's a Brazilian doctor, but he's an anesthesiologist. But man, but that's not the story. The story is an Olajuwon documentary where you and some of it's already been done by Chip Reeves when he did the Faisalama Jama doc. But can you imagine a Nakeem Olajuwon documentary where you rehash, okay, how he got to U of H, the story where he had a ticket, but it was too cold, so he just happened to go to Houston first. He's supposed to go to St. John's, but no one was there to pick him up, so he just flew to Houston on the same day. Like, you follow that story, then you follow the U of H stuff. You're talking to all the U of H guys. Then you go with the Rockets. You talk to the Rockets people. Like, Olajuwon pre-Mecca and post-Mecca, where he was – you were covering the Rockets at that time.
Mm-hmm.
He was a different guy after Mecca because he was a hot head. I saw him fight with people, like, four times, three in college. Well, a lot of times when we're fighting, he would just cave your chest in, like Olden Polynes. But then we were watching – my kids were watching basketball fights on YouTube – and one of them was Dream versus Antonio McDice. You remember that one?
Yeah.
One of them was Dream versus Maurice Lucas. I remember that one a little bit.
Mo
Lucas is a scary person.
He is scary.
And there was Dream versus somebody else. Dream punching Billy Paltz in the face.
That's
like
okay.
An Akeem Olajuwon. Yeah.
Like that, nobody cared about that.
But an Akeem Olajuwon documentary would be incredible.
So would a patio be incredible.
Texas, you know where I would watch it? And Akeem Olajuwon, every single time that documentary is going to air, ooh, the new Dream documentary, episode 2 drops, I'll be like, all right, I'll be out on my patio. I'll be making myself a grilled pork chop, which is one of my favorite things to make out on a patio. A grilled pork chop, I'll make some roasted cauliflower. I'll do some, I may do a salad or green beans, whatever, the green beans almondine. And then I will watch my show out on my patio. Big screen TV, surround sound system that's up in the roof of the vehicle. My patio, what they did was they've got the flooring just the way I like it. The channel drain is cut into it in case there's ever any water that comes in there from the rain. I've got a fire pit that me and the kids just this year made s'mores out there and had a good time with the fire pit. Right now, fire pit's not getting a lot of use, as you might understand, and it's just a great place to go host or have your own place to go hang out. An outdoor patio, an outdoor kitchen, from TexasCustomPatios.com. Go to TCPLance.com and see the magic they did on my backyard. That's TCPLance.com.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit InnovationMap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
The conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Look at you, Jackie. Got his car on the way, ordered it. That a boy, Ford. Got his Bronco. What? Yeah, nice job. Boy, way to go. 713-780-3776. We really haven't gotten into... RJ, are you up on this Lamar Jackson thing with Bernard Pollard? No? You haven't seen this? Bernard Pollard and Lamar Jackson Holy cow. Bernard Pollard was a little unfair. Here's what he said. This is the original, I guess. No top wide receiver will ever come there while Lamar Jackson is there. Plenty of wide receivers have been available to get in the offseason while Lamar Jackson has been starting, but nobody wants to go. They give him the respect, but they don't want to play with him. Lamar Jackson is good, but he's not able to make the throws. Lamar Jackson came back, and he came back with a vengeance, with a flurry. And it was just, actually, it was kind of, it's uncomfortable, actually, with these two. You've been camping since I've been playing for the Ravens. I never heard of you, to be honest. My boy, you got your Super Bowl because of Ray Lewis and Ed Reed that year. Facts are facts. Make sure you call me champ. Good luck getting one. And then Lamar Jackson comes back. Nobody speak of you. I had to Google you, little bruh. I never heard of you until I seen you keep dissing like you was a Hall of Famer. But you far from it, across the ocean, like overseas.
Keep going. Read the whole string.
Don't want Hall of Fame. Don't care about it. I made people fear me. Stop flagging, boy. That never say you was fear, lol, bro. Go watch NASCAR. Probably better at that. Sorry, ass boy.
Keep going. Don't stop.
Got a 6-second college highlight, you met. You mad? What is mad for FR?
For real.
You mad for real. I wish I played against you. Would have threw the ball to coach and ran straight at you, sorry ass Bernard. I get to sit back and watch some of the stuff I used to do. Hit stick. Man. Lamar regrets it.
How do you know?
He said, I wish I hadn't done that.
Dude, Lamar went off.
I won't do it again.
He went off even more than that. Somebody showed him the video of Bernard Pollard on Hard Knocks. Doing that dance that he did. Oh, have you seen it?
No.
It's not great. Bernard Pollard. Okay. Live on the air, I want to do this. And I want you to describe it. Just Google Bernard Pollard dance.
Mm-hmm.
It won't take long, I promise you, because somebody put that in there for Lamar to see it, and Lamar lost his mind. He was so excited. He made a Pootie Tang reference. Lamar lost his cool big time. Now, John, it's Hard Knocks.
Right.
It's Hard Knocks. Yeah. What happens in this video, it was Hard Knocks Kansas City. It's one of the very early versions of Hard Knocks. And so, you know, they're just in a locker room clowning around. There's music being played. Different guys are dancing, doing stuff. And then all of a sudden, Bernard Pollard, who's the hard-hitting safety, is a big dude now. Bernard Pollard was a physical. We remember him.
Yeah.
He played here. We had him on the air not that long ago.
Yeah, we had him on the air.
Now Bernard Pollard's going to start dancing.
Oh, there's I see music him. Being played. And he's doing... He's dancing.
I mean, did he do the splits?
He didn't do the splits yet. No.
Oh, yeah.
He's doing the splits. He's kicking his feet out.
He's doing,
up and down. And everybody started going crazy.
But then in a little bit, he'll come out there and he'll literally do a splits and start bouncing up and down like you've seen, you know, not football players do potentially. And when that happened, that was like just too much for Lamar. But Lamar came off like a young guy who's just in a Twitter fight with somebody. It didn't have the same feel as like.
Now he's twerking. That's not good.
That's what I'm saying. That's why Lamar. Somebody sent that to Lamar, and Lamar literally lost his head. But when you think about face of the franchise quarterbacks, just name 10. Just name 10 in a row who have played your last 10. Russell Wilson. Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady. Now, those guys, some of them are older. Ben Roethlisberger. Younger guys.
Pat Mahomes.
Joe Burrow. Josh Allen. Like, I can't think of one of them that went off like Lamar Jackson did.
No.
Based on something Bernard Pollard said?
Yeah, he regrets it. He said, I won't do that again. He said, I regret doing what I did, and I won't do it again. It got stupid. It's stupid. And by the way, it's all so public right now. And you can't.
And you're in a contract.
You can't win. You can't win doing something like that with a former player or whatever. You know, trying to demean them. It just is. It's a bad look. It's a bad look for everybody. It's a bad look for everybody around. But it is. There was some kind of. There was some funny stuff in there. Now there was some. There's some good. There's some good jabs. Some good sight jabs. there. Do you have site chat right now?
What? I actually do not, but that was a nice little try.
It would have been. You know what? If you drink a couple Coors Lights and calm down, then everything is going to be better, right?
Yeah.
Isn't everything better with beer? I mean, honestly.
Yeah. I say tequila, you say beer.
Beer. I say Coors Light. And I say yesterday, I was with a couple of my buddies who are also the guy, the 975 dip guys, and they love, I mean, we were sitting there on one hole. We were on 10. It was 1,000 degrees, right? And we're on 10. And one of my buddies, Wayne, he had a vodka something before that. And then he opened up his first Coors Light on number 10, and he went, oh, that is so good. That is, I mean, he literally said, that is so good. There's nothing better than a nice cold beer on a hot day. And you know what? He couldn't have been more right. And he was keeping Texas chill. Him and Chase and Tony, we were all keeping Texas chill. Get into the clubhouse afterwards. 4 Coors Lights, please. That's what we do. And that's what you should do, too. If you're looking for cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing, you got them Blue Mountains. You know it's going to be cold. You know it's going to be delicious. You know it's going to be refreshing because it's Coors Light. It's the world's most refreshing beer. Keep Texas chill, baby. Drink them Coors Lights.
Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance, along with RJ. We got Nick Savage in studio. Is that not a great, that's a great sports name. Nick Savage. You would think, yeah.
One thing, there's two things. Sports would be one.
Right.
If you know, you know. Or acting. Fred Savage. Yeah, Savages.
Acting.
No, I actually meant Fred Savage and whoever.
Oh, yeah,
is.
Right. Yeah. Fred. Yeah.
There's been some other
Savages.
Is that
Savages. Your dad? Is Fred your dad?
No, it's not.
He is? No, he's not his dad. He's a good act, okay? Mm-hmm. So he's not doing that other acting that you're talking about.
Well, you
okay?
were saying it's, yeah, but the other. Yeah.
Okay. He's not doing that.
I mean, Savage. Come
it's,
on.
I mean, it's great.
It's too good. It's too on the nose.
It's dead on. Astros with the win yesterday. Fromber with the new hair. And Fromber also with yet another quality start, 15 straight, which is an Astros record.
But the story was Fromber now has braids that hang down past his shoulders. I mean, that was the big story. Yes, 15 straight complete games, but Fromber has extensions headed into the All-Star game. He completely changed his looks and said, just said, listen, Julia Morales, I went shopping for new drip, and I got some All-Star hair.
Yeah. I mean, who doesn't want...
And he swung his head back like that, and the braids went flying.
I'm pretty sure we just had the guy from... Didn't Derek Jeter do that one year at the All-Star game, putting in extensions? No?
No, you wear white. You wear white shoes in the All-Star game.
Oh, well,
white shoes was always the flex.
I could have swore Derek Jeter one time. Maybe
Derek
it wasn't
Jeter
him.
Didn't have maybe extensions and braids.
Maybe it wasn't him. Maybe I'm mistaken.
Fromber just. I don't feel like this is being talked about enough. Honestly, like a pitcher just went from nothing outside of the back of his cap to a full-on Luis Garcia.
Yeah,
and no one's talking.
Maybe
about
he
it.
Liked Luis's look and just said, "You know what? I'm going that way."
Oh, totally bit Luis's look. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he admitted he's
doing it. I mean,
like
when you wear a golf shirt, you're like trying to, you like my look. You like what?
Yeah. Right? Well, everyone wears golf shirts.
Oh,
when
yeah.
You
that's
golf.
True. That is true.
I will say that it is a weird flex to get new hair for an All-Star game, but it's a different generation. So let him do, as long as it doesn't throw him off and it doesn't keep him from getting his quality starts. Here's the thing, he hasn't had a win in the last three, but yesterday is incredible. Over 80 pitches in the first four innings. And Fromber goes 7 pitches and 6 pitches to get out of the 5th and the 6th. 7 and 6. And he's out, and he has a quality start. Hey, our boy Uncle Freddy's up.
Yeah. Oh, Uncle Freddy is here. Let's get Uncle Freddy here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What do you say, Uncle Freddy?
What's going on? Hey, I read an article on Caesar Sportsbook. Every NFL team has a $1,000 futures wager to win the Super Bowl, except two.
Every single team has a $1,000 wager to win the Super Bowl, except the Falcons
except
and the Texans.
Texans are one.
Texans would easily be one, not the Cowboys. Jerry's out there.
The Jets?
No.
No. They are NFC.
It's got to be the Falcons are the worst Falcons? Team in the league.
NFC Central.
Bears.
The Lions.
Bears.
Bears. The Bears. Bears and Texans.
The Bears and the Texans are the only two teams that don't have $1,000 bet.
So odds came out. I saw this one. Who is the shortest odds? Exact matchup. Tell me the NFC team, and the team is the Texans. Okay? Texans in the Super Bowl.
Tampa Bay, KC.
Well, the best is...
There's Buffalo.
No. Houston's the AFC representative. Okay? In exact matchups.
Oh,
they have it for everybody.
The largest?
Houston and which NFC team? Freddie already said it. It's Tampa. It's either Rams or Tampa Bay. I think it is Tampa Bay, Freddie. And it's 700-1. That's the shortest odds you can get on the Texans making the Super Bowl against a team.
Shortest. I got you. Okay.
Exact matchup. Yeah.
And that's 700. Well, it might as well be a billion to one.
No, I know.
It's not happening.
You have zero chance.
What's the difference?
Yeah. But Freddie, old school Uncle Freddie would have thrown, you would have thrown like at least a tenner on something like that.
New school Uncle Freddy's not as dialed in. New school Freddy's not drinking the Kool-Aid anymore.
No, but old school Freddy would come back with wagers on the Rockets, on the Astros. Like, you always played the local team and the Texans in the past, right? You've had to win. I don't know. You've had like season long wagering tickets on all of them.
One of my best futures was $50 on the Astros to make the World Series in 05 when they were like 17 or 18 back in June. I went to Vegas, and, God, I think $50 paid back, I want to say almost $3,500, whatever those odds are.
That was the Tombstone year.
Yeah, the Tombstone, when they put in the newspaper, the right. Tombstone deal, that's it.
And you went there.
Yep, it was probably June, mid-June, I went to Vegas and I threw 50 on them.
Freddie, give us a World Series update. How many are left?
They're down to the final table tonight. They're down to 10.
They're down to 10 tonight. And you're playing in the last World Series event, when is that?
I'm playing tomorrow at start at noon. I'm leaving tonight. And then tomorrow night, the final four on the main event will be playing.
Oh, tomorrow night, the final four of the main event. Are they going to do it live again? Where you get to see every hand, and are they streaming that this year?
You have to watch it on PokerGo, which sucks. CBS bought the rights, but CBS isn't showing it on TV. So, God, I've literally watched probably 30 hours of poker on PokerGo over the last week. My wife is like driving her crazy, laying in bed.
30 hours.
She's like, "Can you take the poker off the background?
Can we talk during dinner?"
Oh my God! More World Series of Poker? Oh well, yeah.
The best deal is my wife. I don't know how we've been married 7 years, and she always forgets this. Like once April comes around, and I put the Astros on, then the second night, then the third night, she's like, "Is this every night?" I'm like, "Yes, baby, every night till October, every year."
Every year, it's the same. She hates baseball.
All right, y'all be good. We'll talk soon.
All right, man.
All right, we'll see you, Freddie.
She hates baseball season. Hates baseball season. So we got, is your brother Tom Savage? No, he's not. Your brother's not Tom Savage either, is it? Nick Savage is in studio. Good ag. Did you see this?
Yeah.
That five Aggies were named to the preseason All-Americans?
No. Who are they?
Anais Smith.
Yep.
A
preseason All-American.
Antonio Johnson and Anais Smith.
Wait.
First team All-American odds.
Anais Smith was first team All-American for the whole country?
Yeah, preseason All-American teams, yeah.
That's pretty good. I would have expected maybe second or third, third, but he does so much though.
Well, as a punt returner.
Oh, but he does everything.
Yeah, he does.
He runs, he catches, he's got a little Dante Hall in him.
Yeah. Layden Robinson was one of four offensive linemen who earned third team All-American. Punter Nick Constantino also earned a third team mention. And running back Devon Achane rounded out the group
A-Chain
on the fourth team. A-Chain's real.
A-Chain's pretty serious.
Yeah.
He's got some blazing speed.
What, man? Well, we'll see.
Aggies are loaded up at the running back position.
Is Max Johnson going to be the quarterback this year? Is that who it's going to be?
Max looks like the quarterback right now.
Yeah, or King. Yeah, it's not going to be Wegman. No, probably not Wegman. Max Johnson is Okay. He's okay.
LSU liked him okay at times.
Yeah, no, I watched every game. He's okay.
Max is all right. Max might be okay with Jimbo in terms of just keeping the train on time, you know, just hitting the schedule the way you want it to. It also wouldn't shock me if there's a quarterback change at some point in the year.
Yeah.
Or it wouldn't shock me if you have multiple starters for the Aggies this year at quarterback. Now, if that happens, you're not having the year you want to have.
No, you're not even close to it. No. If you change quarterbacks, there's something wrong.
Yeah. You're having offensive issues. Or you better be changing it early on, like you're not sure in camp, and after two games you decide to go the other direction. You know, maybe something like that before you really get into the heart of the, you know, of the schedule. But I think that's the big question, is you can really run the ball. Your offensive line last year was really shaky early in the season and got better. They were just very inconsistent. But I know Jimbo liked the talent headed into the year more than he liked the team before that was a finalist for the Joe Moore Award.
What did he tell us last year?
Jimbo thought it was the most talented offensive line he's ever had. And they did not play like it. But continuity is huge. And so now you got the same offensive line minus Kenyon Green.
That's a big
first-round pick. But you have four guys coming back. That's a big deal. Or three of the five coming back. So I would expect the running game to be much more fluid early in the season. You know, some people blame the offensive line, the lack of consistent quarterback play and inconsistent offensive line on Isaiah Spiller not having the year that some people expected. And maybe that ended up hurting him from a draft standpoint. I think Isaiah went in the fourth. He was a third or fourth round, which – you know, at one point, look, running backs going in the first is rare. So everyone likes to have a running back in the first round. But the reality is, you know, a lot of times a good running back is going to go early, inside the top 40. And at one point, Isaiah Spiller was expected to be a top 40 draft pick type player in the middle of the year. But when I watched him on tape, I didn't see it. But some of it was, you know, he just didn't have a time. He didn't have the same time to get going. That should be a big difference this year. The offensive line's got continuity. They're going to be a lot better.
Yeah. We'll have a better season, Longhorns or Aggies?
Record? I think that's a tough question because I think Texas makes a big jump up in year two, but Jimbo's got some talent to work with. I'm not sure LSU is going to be a major factor. Mississippi State, I don't think so. Arkansas, Sam Pittman's a good one.
No, he did.
I'm going to say the odds should be in, I would think, Texas A&M's favor there based on the way Texas played last year. But I think Texas is going to be sneaky tough because year two, you've gotten some of the guys out of the program that maybe you didn't like, and Bijan Robinson is a major difference maker.
You brought in a quarterback that you
like. And Quinn Ewers is supposed to be able to really go, so we'll find out.
Yep. 944 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. News of the Weird coming your way next right here on the show. Right now, though, it's Aqueduct Plumbing. It's Billy and Mary.
I'm just texting them right now. They're coming out Monday. So here's what I had.
I thought
they
were just at your house.
Well, they were. They diagnosed, but I've got to have more done than I need. And so they said, "Do you want it?" So we wanted to wait. And so now they're going to start the work. We have to dig out an entire pipe. He goes, "Look, this is what's happening." They came in. This is an issue. Another plumber just did a quick hit thing. Billy and Mary and Aqueduct, they came in, they did a jet clean out through there, they did the camera in there, and he told me exactly what the issue was, like the line between the two clean hits in your backyard is bellied and holding water, got to dig it up and replace is Monday good. Absolutely, because you know what? I want it fixed. I want to fix the right way.
Absolutely.
So he'll get out there, it's going to be a one-day job, and we are going to have an issue that frankly has plagued us for about 5 years. It's finally going to be fixed. And that's the difference, is they go the extra mile, not to put a Band-Aid on it, but to fix the problems. Enough of these companies that put Band-Aids on stuff, and then you're having them out in a year and a half again. Aqueduct's out there trying to fix your problems for you, John, so you don't have these issues and you don't have these stresses.
No, absolutely. You don't want any of that. You want a company that you can trust. You want a company that's going to do the work and going to do great work. And that's exactly what you want. So you're looking for Aqueduct Plumbing. 281-488-6238 or thebenchplumbing.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Isn't it weird?
This is so weird.
Time now for News of the Weird on the Bench.
Boy, what the hell's wrong with you?
Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
You remember I told you about Sri Lanka and you saw the Sri Lankans just dominating the president's home.
Yeah.
He resigned by email. And
well, yeah, that
he
was
went, a, he took off for Singapore.
Well, that was a 1-5 thing.
Yeah.
That was a huge thing.
But not how many times has a president of a country resigned by email?
How many times you've been in Sri Lanka?
How many times are tens of thousands of people in your house?
I can just tell you, some of the coups aren't so devoid of violence.
Yeah.
There have been some ugly ones in the history of the world, in the history of the universe.
Well, yeah, yeah,
a lot
yeah.
of times there was no email. No, it no. was just...
he's done.
That's it. For you guys can stop now.
News of the Weird brought to you by Simple Seats. Better prices, no fees. It's that simple. A new study out, Lance, says men under 40 shouldn't have more than a shot glass of beer per day, the new study suggests. Thank God that study wasn't out when I was under 40. Are you kidding me? Oh, my God. You know what I would have said? Sorry, study. You're wrong. I need a second opinion. That's what I need. I need a second study about drinking Coors Light every
day. You're not allowed to get second opinions of studies.
Yeah.
Well, I guess you could do a second study.
You get second opinions when a doctor tells you stop drinking. I need a second opinion.
Well, here's what you do. You also say,
yeah, whatever.
Just do the where you swat your hand and I'm like, eh, man. Whatever.
Apparently, pregnant women cannot get divorced in Missouri.
Hmm.
The state's tough divorce break. Law has come under more scrutiny lately because of the Roe v. Wade. But if you are married in Missouri and your wife is pregnant, can't get a divorce. Do you want to move to Missouri?
Well, I don't want to, regardless of anything.
Okay, you just don't want to live in Missouri.
Yeah, Missouri's not in my list right now. Not currently.
Yeah, no. Apparently, an arrow was lodged in a woman's face in China.
Like a bow and arrow?
Yes, like an arrow. When the arrow struck the woman, piercing her through her eyelid.
Oh!
Do you think...
No, I don't. Next story. I don't want to have an eye thing pierced through my... I don't want to have an arrow pierced through my eye thing. I don't want to shoot somebody in the eye. It doesn't need to end with a question. I don't want to be involved in an arrow entering, piercing my skin.
Did you know...
How did she have that happen?
I don't know. Somebody shot her in
goofing.
The face.
You know how it happened? Somebody was
fooling around.
Somebody was playing around. Who was messing around with the bow and shot this lady in the eyelid? That's how that works.
Oh, man. Something happened to this woman. Apparently, I didn't know that. This woman was having physical problems, and the doctor says she was just sick from having too much sex. Has this ever happened to you?
Sick. What kind of physical problems
did she have? Well, she was ailing, apparently.
What was her ailment?
We're going to run your blood. Apparently, she was having...
Read the list of injury.
She said she just was not feeling well. And apparently the doctor...
This feels like somebody who's trying to C-block another guy. You're having too much sex. That's not what this is.
Yeah,
I just feel bad all the time.
The doctor said it's overstimulated. You need to...
This doctor's just trying to screw the guy, her husband or boyfriend or whatever, like... Oh, it's too much sex. I'm almost 100% sure this is what this is. Are you sure? It ran your blood. That's what it says here.
No.
What's the exact name for that?
She said, the doctor actually told her, you need to lay off the electronic devices.
Well, see, now we've, okay.
Okay.
Now that you read the story more,
yeah.
Now it's starting to make a little more sense.
Overstimulation. Yeah, I didn't know that can make you sick.
Yeah, now you know. Now the story there's the twist.
Now we know.
Did you know,
apparently... A weed killer ingredient tied to cancer is found in 80% of U.S. urine samples. Do you think you have a weed killer ingredient in your urine? I think that would be awful.
I did a blood test and found I had high arsenic level.
Yeah, because your wife's trying to kill you.
Well, that's one consideration. Well, the other one is tainted water. But yeah, this blood thing, this whole thing came back like last summer. Like, hey, you got kind of high levels of arsenic. I'm like, excuse me?
What? Now what?
I have what now? I'm like, yeah, you need to take this, and this. It can give you brain block, which does what? It bothers your memory. You're not able to focus. I'm like, this is on brand. How long has this been going on? Well, maybe for 10, 20 years. It can basically just stay there unless you get it out of there.
How long has your wife been
trying
to kill you?
I mean,
honestly.
So I tell her, I said, my life insurance is not going any higher because keeping your life insurance low is true. Life insurance.
Yeah.
If it gets too high, that's death insurance.
I just got another text. Hi. It's from the same person from yesterday, though. I'm not answering you today.
Don't answer a troll text that just says hi.
Yeah. Never answer if someone just says hi. No, don't do it. Apparently, Chinese researchers feel like they've developed a device that can test your loyalty of the ruling party. That sounds like a Chinese invention, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I kind of feel like, oh, I can tell. Do you love our ruling party? Yeah. What? Oh. I don't know if I trust that invention. The Montana State Library has rejected this logo, Lance, because they feel like it looks too much like the gay pride rainbow.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, really?
Yeah.
Apparently,
Montana don't want nothing to do. Different colors in it? Nope.
Y'all do know we still have colors of a prism, right?
Right.
Nope, we're not doing prisms anymore. Looks, no more prisms.
Looks way too gay for us. Not doing it.
Hey, what are you teaching in science? Prism? How the light refraction?
Yeah.
Like, that's out.
Oh, no.
We're taking prisms out of science.
We're done with them. And we're done with this show right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Glad you could join us. Vanessa and Gallant are next right here. Don't you go anywhere. I'm talking right now about Eat Lafayette. Listen, Lafayette is just, it's right down the road here. And Eat, you know, I-10 is not always great. And we know that. That's okay. But you know what? You get there. The worst it's ever been is like 3.5, four hours, whatever. You'll get there. Listen, I love Lafayette. You'll love Lafayette. My stomach loves Lafayette because every time I go there, I get my best meals. But the nightlife is also second to none. And then everything that you got to do, there seems like there's always a festival. There's always concerts going on. There's always live music going on. Lafayette is just fun. I'm telling you, if I could have made money there, I would have stayed there forever because it's just a fun, fun place to be. And you'll have fun too. And you'll also have fun saving some money because, first of all, hotels are not that expensive in Lafayette, Louisiana. And secondly, there's a thing going on called Eat Lafayette. And Eat Lafayette, there's discounts at all different restaurants. Go to eatlafayette.com, see which restaurants are participating, and then go enjoy the great Cajun culture, Cajun cuisine, the Creole, everything that's going on in Lafayette. I love Lafayette. You will love Lafayette too. Eat Lafayette. Hey, Houston, this summer, Eat Lafayette, eatlafayette.com.
This is ESPN 97.5.